Brothers and sisters, so far during this Lenten season, we've been examining the various Old Testament covenants. And one of the things that I'm hoping you're seeing in these covenants is the way in which God is gradually drawing people to himself. That's why he establishes these covenants, to create new relationships. And each relationship builds on the previous. So in the first week, we had the covenant with Noah, where God blessed Noah's family. And then last week, we heard of the covenant with Abraham, where God then took the family and used it as the building block for a tribal nation. Now this week, God expands that relationship once again as he establishes a holy nation, a people set apart for a divine purpose. And he does this through the covenant that he makes with Moses. And each of these covenants that we've been looking at has a condition to it. The condition is the way in which we can enter into the newly established relationship and participate in this life with God. Central to the covenant with Moses is the law. God provides his people with his divine law, and he does this not as a way of limiting or controlling or manipulating us, but rather to perfect us. That is to say, following the law allows us to become more conformed to Christ, more conformed to God. We become what we are meant to be, made in the image and likeness of God. Now, today in the first reading, we heard the Ten Commandments. And the Ten Commandments are rather striking in their simplicity. They seem to be very reasonable ground rules for living. Furthermore, when we look at the Ten Commandments, one of the things that we should realize is that these Ten Commandments are solely for our benefit. That is to say, when we look at them, they don't benefit God in any way. And this is true, by the way, even for the three commandments, for the first three commandments, the ones that outline our relationship with God, that acknowledge that he is the one and only God, that his name is holy, and that he is worthy of our worship. Even those commandments benefit us. They do so because they orient our lives according to what is true. You know, when we think back to living by the, or when we think about living by the truth, we know that it's us who receive the truth that benefit from living by the truth. And we can see this simply if you think back to your school days. I know for some of you that's thinking further back than others. But if you think back to your school days and you think about the truths that you learned in school, the truths of science, of mathematics, of history, all those things that you learned that were true benefit you. You know, your teacher didn't benefit one way or the other whether or not you learned. They still got their paycheck, you know. But you benefit by understanding the truths of the world and then are able to live a life that is more full by knowing those truths. Well, the same is true when it comes to spiritual and moral truths. You know, they remain true whether or not we accept them as true. They still remain true. But if we accept them as true, we will experience life in a more abundant way. When we deny certain religious and moral truths, we end up deluding ourselves and we live in a false reality. And such delusions will prevent us from living life to the fullest. And yet, so often in our world, we give in to these delusions. If we go back to that covenant made with Moses, and we think about that Exodus story, we'll see right in there such delusional thinking. We see it in the antagonist of the story, the Pharaoh of Egypt. Pharaoh adamantly refuses to allow the Jewish people to leave Egypt in order to worship God. Some of you may think back to that great scene with Charlton Heston, you know, let my people go. And Pharaoh adamantly refusing to do so. He's clinging to his own power. Well, what happens to Pharaoh? He's met with plague after plague, darkness, hail, gnats, and drought, just to name a few. And yet, despite seeing God's power, he refuses to acknowledge God. He remains obstinate in his delusion. And eventually, he loses everything. The angel of death comes and takes the firstborn of everyone in Egypt, including Pharaoh's own son. And then, when Pharaoh still remains obstinate, he chases the Israelites into the Red Sea, and the Red Sea caves in on him, and he loses his own life. Friends, such delusional thinking isn't limited to the book of Exodus. It exists in our world today. Many people refuse to acknowledge the reality of those first three commandments. Rather than viewing God as the one and only God, they view human authority as more powerful. In one place where we see this perhaps most profoundly in our society is when it comes to the sin of abortion. In this sin, we see human beings claiming divinity for themselves. Human beings claim that we get to make decisions about who lives and who dies. We get to decide who is and who is not born. And we claim divinity for ourselves. We put ourselves in the place of God whenever we do that. And this is a lie that can't persist forever. You know, we can delude ourselves, as many people have, into thinking that, oh, God's not going to act, or that he doesn't see what's going on, or perhaps he just doesn't even care. But we know that this won't stand forever. Any house of cards, any reality that's based on lies will eventually collapse. You know, the Egyptians, they were able to enslave the people of Israel for over 400 years. But when they were faced with the reality of God, they learned that God was, in fact, more powerful. We too need to awaken ourselves to the reality of God. And this reality isn't something that's to be lamented, but it's something that we're to take great joy in. Because when we acknowledge God and when we abide by his commands, we enter into a reality that's far greater than any false reality that we could develop for ourselves. We become part of a holy nation, a nation that's set apart, a nation that's destined to bring God's plan to fulfillment. And being part of this plan requires faithfulness on our part. And that's the theme for this third week of Lent, this fidelity to God's commandments. In the gospel passage that we just heard, we learned that the heirs to the covenant of Moses, the Jewish people, lost that fidelity. They took the place of proper worship, the temple, and they turned it into a marketplace, seeking their own personal gain. And in doing so, they lost sight of what it meant to honor God and to keep holy the Sabbath. Consequently, Jesus was forced to cleanse the temple so that people might once again recognize reality, that they might properly worship God, and through that worship, come to appreciate their own dignity as being made in God's image and likeness. For it's only when we understand God's greatness that we can truly understand our own dignity as being made in his image and likeness. When we neglect to properly worship God, when we fail to acknowledge his dignity, we're insulting ourselves because we fail to see our own dignity as being made in his image and likeness. This is a dignity that's so great. It's been bestowed on no other creature. Not even the greatest of angels can claim that dignity. But we human beings can. But in order for that dignity to be seen, we need to first acknowledge the dignity of God in whose image and likeness we've been made. And so the temple needs to be made pure. Fortunately for us, Jesus cleansed the temple. And when he rose from the dead, he established his own body as the new temple, the new place of proper worship, the place to honor God. Of course, we all know that the body of Christ here on earth is the church. Through the ministry of the church, God offers us numerous ways in which we can be healed of any of our sins, in which we can be brought into proper relationship with God. And that indeed is the good news of the gospel. That's the good news of this reality. I think, you know, when we were talking earlier about the sin of abortion, one of the greatest things that we have in the church is, of course, something like Project Rachel, which can help people heal from this sin. It can restore people to proper relationship. We're not left in our woundedness. We indeed can be brought into proper relationship with God. In our own parish, we've got ministries such as Stephen Ministry, where people who are hurting or struggling can meet with a fellow Christian and be encouraged in their faith and be brought into this proper relationship with God. Of course, the greatest way in which God allows us to become more fully alive and to share in his life is through the sacramental ministry of the church. You know, it's something that we can often take for granted because we experience it so often. But through the sacraments, we are brought into this proper relationship with God. Through the sacrament of penance, we can truly be forgiven of all of our sins, which means that we are, in fact, after having received this sacrament, put in a proper relationship with God. And through the sacrament of the Eucharist, we receive the fullness of the Godhead. We receive Jesus Christ, body, blood, soul, and divinity, into our own bodies. We become united with him in a very intimate way. By receiving him into our bodies, we recognize not only his dignity as being God, but our dignity as creatures who are made in his image and likeness, creatures who are able to receive the fullness of God into our very beings. Brothers and sisters, peace to you and to all who discover their dignity by following God's commands.